Well, this morning we're going to be in John chapter 14. We're going to jump over very quickly to Romans chapter 5 in a bit, but we're going to, for the most of the time, we'll be in John chapter 14, verse 27. As we walk through this season of Advent, preparing for Christmas, my prayer is that we do more than just decorate the house. We do more than just buy the presents and wrap them, but that we prepare our hearts, to engage with the King, to recognize and celebrate that the great miracle that took place when the God of all creation became a child and He did it for us. And so, really, as everything kind of over the last 6 or 7 months has really just kind of been, in some ways, stripped down. It's simplified in some ways. What I want us to do is to be able to look through the distractions, because there's so many things going on. Some of us are worried about travel plans and will it be Christmas like it's always been if we can't see our family, if they can't come to us or we can't go to them, if we can't do a service that we've always done, is it still Christmas? And I just want to remind you, what God has laid on my heart is the focus for this month, for me anyways, is simply Jesus. At the end of the day, that's our focus, that's our goal, that's where we keep our eyes on. And so as we walk through this sermon series of Simply Jesus, this morning I want to remind us that He is our peace. When we talk about peace, there's so many things that people want to focus on, and really, generally what we talk about is the cessation of hostilities, and it's a temporary cessation at best. When a politician announces that they've reached a Mideast peace deal, how many of us really believe that's going to last? I read the other day in Afghanistan that the Taliban and the Afghan government are reaching a ceasefire and taking steps towards a peace deal. Really? Peace? In their minds, peace only comes when we've won and we've eliminated our enemies. But when we as Christians talk about peace, when Jesus our Savior talks about peace, He's talking about something greater. He tells us in John chapter 14, verse 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." We see this is no mere greeting, nor is this sending thoughts and prayers as you might do on social media. It's definitely not sending positive vibes. Jesus points out that the peace He leaves is His own. And it's different from anything the world can try to replicate or fabricate. And so as we break this down, there's two things. When we come to Jesus' statement of peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, there's two things we really need to see in this statement. And the first is that Jesus was at peace with God because He was right with God. Now, what does that have to do with peace? We can be at peace with God through the sacrifice of Christ. My peace I give to you. Matthew Henry tells us that being justified by faith, Jesus has peace with God. The holy, righteous God cannot be at peace with a sinner while he is still under the guilt of sin. To put it another way, we turn to the words of that Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and he says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Did you catch that? Because we have been justified, because we have been made right, because God has declared us in right standing with Him, we're told we can be at peace with God. Sorry, I saw everybody jump. No need to be nervous. But what we see is that Jesus' peace comes not because He's a long-haired hippie. Jesus' peace comes not because He has good vibes and positive thoughts. First and foremost, his peace comes because he stands rightly before God. And that's not something we can do in and of our own. That's not something we can do by simply trying to obey God. We are, whether we want to admit it or not, we are sinners in our natural state. Each and every one of us has chosen, each and every one of us has willed to rebel against God, to say, I know what you say, Lord, but I'm going to do it my way. Each of us has had the heart of a toddler. When God says, do this, we respond with, no. And we're a sinner. And that sin separates. But what we see is, because we have been justified, because we have been made right through Jesus' sacrifice, we find peace with God, and we are, because we are no longer his adversary. We are no longer in open rebellion against the Lord. We're no longer doing our thing while he's calling us to walk with him. And because of that, peace begins. Peace cannot exist without there being peace with God. To try it any other way is a false assumption. And so we see that Jesus was at peace with God because he was right with God. And we too can be at peace with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. But that's the only way we get there. We can't do it ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't be smart enough. We can't sing pretty enough. We can't preach well enough to make ourselves right with God. The only way we're made right is through the sacrificial death of Jesus, through which we're forgiven and we're made right. But we go on to see that Jesus was at peace with himself, what many refer to as inner peace. Jesus was at peace with himself because he was whole and he was holy. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. We have examples through Scripture where Jesus is confronted by mobs. He's confronted by adversaries, men who want to kill him, and yet we're told that he walks through their midst. He's bold, and he can boldly preach the Word of God because he knows it's in the Father's hands. He has a peace with himself because he's whole and he's holy. And we can be at peace with ourselves through the saving power of Christ and the indwelling of that Holy Spirit. If we're, as I've said before, if we're not right with God, we will never truly be at peace with ourselves or with others. We just can't. Because conviction will hound us and keep us from experiencing that peace. Many of you have heard it said before, When you run into somebody and they just seem to hurt people, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, and you look and you wonder what's wrong. Well, hurt people hurt people. Oftentimes, their actions, their choices stem back to a hurt they have in years past, and they can continue being in relationships, but they're going to continue to be destructive until they address that underlying problem that causes the dysfunction and the sabotage that we see time after time after time. In the same way, if we're not right with God, we cannot be right with ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit convicts, the Holy Spirit speaks, and the Holy Spirit will not leave us alone. How can we expect to be at peace with ourselves, to feel good about ourselves, when God's tapping us on the shoulder saying, oh, Aubrey, you're out of step. You're out of line. You need to get right. And for me to reject, for me to refuse, for me to plug my ears against what the Spirit speaks, but still hope to have peace in and of myself, it sounds ridiculous when we say it that way, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like nonsense. But stop and think. That's absolutely what our neighbors try, isn't it? It's what we've tried. Maybe if I get a calming CD, right? Maybe if I take a relaxing bath, or I turn the lights down, or whatever, Look, man, you can chant whatever you want going to work and back. But if you're not right with God, you will never truly be at peace. Matthew Henry later said, "Justification takes away the guilt and so makes way for peace. This is through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Him as the great peacemaker, the mediator between God and man." When we stand right before God and we allow Him to speak truth into our lives, that's an important caveat. When we allow God to speak truth into our lives, He guides, He instructs, He corrects problems before they escalate. Right? Few things are as heartwarming and yet terrifying at the same moment to a mom whose preschooler wants to help clean. Right? They grab the broom. I'll help. Please don't. Why? Well, because they're just not careful. They can't be. And they're waving it around like it's a lightsaber or something and knocking stuff off cabinets, and they don't sweep into piles, they mess up piles. And part of what we see, the Holy Spirit speaks and He heals and He instructs and He fixes and He corrects the issues, the sins, the problems in our lives before they escalate. He gets it while it's little. We catch the four-year-old when they pick up the broom, not after they've had it for 10 or 15 minutes. We catch it before the destruction goes too far. And He speaks to us. We see that this peace arises from the blood of Christ. Because we're at peace. We're assured. We have a promise. But that's not all that Jesus said. Not only did He say, "Peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you," but there's a second part. He said, "I do not give as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." See, Jesus doesn't give to get, nor does He give temporarily. He doesn't give to receive. He gives for our benefit and for the Father's glory. And so when He talks about giving us His peace and not giving as the world gives, He doesn't give us a truce or a ceasefire that can be broken. He gives permanently. And He gives fully. And so it's because of His faithfulness, because He doesn't give as the world gives, He doesn't give as others might. Natalie read a joke the other day to me as we're driving along the road. A little boy came home from school and he had a toy car with him. He said, "Oh," mom says, "well, where'd you get that?" "Well, me and Johnny traded." "Oh, so he gave you the car?" "Yeah. What'd you give him?" And the little boy paused for a moment and said, "I kicked him." Not exactly a trade, is it, right? I think a lot of us, when someone wants to offer something freely and willingly, we don't understand that. We expect there's a kick or there's a con or there's something. Because nothing is free. But when Jesus gives, there is no kick. When Jesus gives, there is no con. When Jesus gives, there is no... He's not trying to gain by it. He's trying to give. And so because of His faithfulness, and He gives fully and uninhibitedly, we can trust His promise. There is no need for anxiety or for fear. The peace He gives lasts. It's easy to be peaceful in a quiet moment. It's easy to be peaceful when all is going as planned. It's not easy to be peaceful when life seems to be falling down around us. And yet this is exactly the peace that the Lord promises. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. We can boldly step forward as his disciples, not simply claiming his peace, but experiencing his peace as believers have for the last 2,000 years. To live in that, to embrace that, because we walk with him. And so as we wrap this up, we come and we see that in many ways, pardon me, but what, in many ways, what Jesus is pointing towards is what he has done for us. He's given us peace with God. And what he has given, it's what I have done for you, peace with God, and what is within you, peace with yourself. And what I have done among you, peace among the fellowship. We're going to talk more about that tonight. His promise is one day he will do for all creation. One day there will come a moment when he will bring ultimate peace to our chaotic world. And the passage that Jimmy read earlier, when we hear about wolves and calves laying down together, when we hear about a world at peace, and it really does sound like a hippie holiday where everything's just good. There's a day where that's coming, where there are no predators, where there are no monsters, where there are no fears. And the promise is that day is coming. He will bring peace to our chaotic world. Now, whether that's exhilarating or terrifying will depend on whether or not we're at peace with God through Jesus' sacrifice. Because as believers, that moment when he appears, when he comes on the clouds and he says, enough. To his believers, that's going to be the moment of ultimate victory. But to those who still war with God, a moment of absolute terror. You see, in Noah's day, he preached. He preached longer than I would have as he built the boat. It's going to rain. But as best we can tell, it didn't rain in those days. There was a mist that covered the ground, and that's how the world was watered. Water came from the ground up, not from the sky down. And Noah promised a flood. They'd never seen a flood, and they hadn't seen a flood, and it wasn't raining yet. But there were terror in their minds as the first raindrops fell. There will come a day when Christ appears again. And to those who believe and to those who trust and to those who follow, it's going to be the greatest moment of our lives. But to those who haven't, absolute terror. I don't say that to revel in that, but I bring that up because if we don't recognize the seriousness of the situation, we're lost. First, though, we've got to shift our focus to today. Jesus came to this earth, born as a baby, grown as a man, dying as a Savior, raised as our Lord. He has come to be our peace. Will you accept that? Or will you continue to try to find peace on your own terms? Here in just a moment, I'm going to pray. Steve's going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn. And I want to challenge you. If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never found that peace, if you've never experienced that this morning, whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're at home, whether you're driving down the road, listening to it as a podcast, I hope that you will take a moment and you will stop and you will accept his peace. That you will let God have his way. Christ has come to be our peace. Will we accept that, or will we try to fabricate it in some other way? Maybe some of you have done that. You've accepted that and you've known that peace. But as you've taken and you've lived life on your own, you've gone your own way, you haven't been experiencing that peace. And so this morning I challenge you to turn around. This morning I challenge you to come back. Not to get re-saved, but to recommit, to rededicate. Call it what it is, to repent. To get right with God. To those of you who walk faithfully, to those of you, life is hard, but you walk hand in hand with the Lord. I want you to know that that peace is there. It's always there. We've just got to ask for it. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for today. We thank you for the peace that you have given us. We thank you especially for the peace that you have given us through Christ. That you would walk with us, that you would call us to faithfulness, that we would serve you. Lord, we want to be at peace with you. May we accept and walk in the ways of Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.